my way through to the rest of the story. Scripture pure veracity and scandal rag content. That conjunction gives it its sizzle. You carry the seed of belief within you already. You recall the time this narrative captures and sense conspiracy. I am here to tell you that it is all true and not at all what you think. You will read with some reluctance and capitulate in the end. The following pages will force you to succumb. I am going to tell you everything. Chapter 2, John Crutchfield, Los Angeles, 6/15/68. Women! Two bevies walked by the lot. The first group looked like shop girls. They wore Ivy League threads and modified bouffants. The second group was pure hippie. They wore patched-up jeans, peace-knit shit, and long, straight hair that swirled. They came and went. The wheelmen waved. The shop girls waved back. The hippie chicks flipped off the wheelmen. The wheelmen wolf called. The Shell Station lot, Beverly and Hayward. Four pumps and a service bay office. Three wheelmen sprawled in their sleds. Bobby Gallard had a Rocket Olds. Phil Irwin had a 409 Chevy. Crutch had a 65 GTO. He was the rookie wheelman. He had the boss ride. 390 Hurst 4-speed. Coon maroon paint. Bobby and Phil were midday blitzed on high test vodka. Crutch was residual torqued on the girl show. Man, oh man, a Shevitz. He scanned the street for more walk-bys. Zilch, just some old Eves loping to shul. Back to the paper. Yawn! More jive on James Earl Ray and Sirhan Sirhan. Snore! America grieves, accused assassin's lair. Ray vibed pencil neck. Sirhan vibed towel head. Hey America, I got your grief swinging. Crutch flipped pages. He hit flyweights at the forum and a grabber. Life magazine offers million scoots for Howard Hughes picks. A redhead walked by. Crutch waved at her. She scowled like he was a dog turd. Wheelman emitted bad vibes. They were low rent and indigenously fucked up. They perched in the lot. They waited for work, for skank private eyes and divorce lawyers. They tailed cheating spouses, kicked in doors, and took photos of the fools bawling. It was a high-risk, high-yucks job with female skin potential. Crutch was new to it. He wanted to groove the job forever. The paper called Howard Hughes a billionaire recluse. Crutch got a brainstorm. He could starve himself down to bones and shimmy up a heat shaft. Snap! One Polaroid in vamoose. The lot dozed. Bobby Gallard skimmed Beaver Mags and slurped Smirnoff 100. Phil Irwin wiped his 409 with a chamois cloth. The lot dozed. No worm. No walk by coos. Gas station ennui. It was hot. It was humid. Crutch yawned and aimed the AC vent at his balls. It perked him up and got him head tripping. Gas station blahs at you. He was 23. He got kicked out of Hollywood High for candid camera stunts in the girls' gym. His old man lived in a Goodwill box outside Santa Anita. Crutch Sr. panhandled, bet all day, and ate pastrami burritos exclusive. Crutch's mom vanished on 6-18-55. Crutch was 10 then. She up and split, and she never returned. She sent him a Christmas card and a 5-spot every year, different postmarks, no return address. He built his own missing persons file. It built up 4 big boxes. He killed time with it. He called around the country and ran PD checks, hospital checks, OBIT checks. He kicked off his quest in fucking junior high school. Nothing. Margaret Woodard Crutchfield was still stone gone. The wheelman gig fell on his head. It happened like this. He kept up with his high school pal, Buzz Duber. Buzz shared his passion for pad prowls. Soft prowls. Like this. Hancock Park. Big dark houses. Preppy girls' lairs. Knock, knock. Nobody's home? Good. You enter undetectably. You carry a penlight. You date some plush cribs. You walk through girls' bedrooms and exit with lingerie sets. He did it a few times with Buzz. He did it a lot by himself. Buzz's dad was Clyde Duber. Clyde was a big-time PI. He did divorce jobs and got celebs out of his shit. He installed college kids in left-wing groups and got them to rat out subversion. The fuzz popped Crutch on a panty prowl. They snagged him with some black lace undies and a sandwich he glommed from Sally Compton's fridge. Clyde bailed him out and got his record expunged. Clyde got him wheelman and jump surveillance gigs. Clyde said, kid, window peeping is kosher, but no B&E, and I will pay you to peep. Crutch had a flop at the Vivian Apartments. It was a walk-up dive just south of Paramount. Grips and stagehands lived there. Bit players turned lunchtime tricks in a jumbo mop closet. Crutch crammed all his shit into 2 rooms. His file shit, his camera shit, his car shit, his bug and tap shit. Clyde taught him surveillance. He had phone cords and wire mounts up the yin-yang. He had a full run of Playboy magazine. He had car crack, back to 52. His wallpaper was 41 Playboy Playmates. He settled in for the night. He updated his notes on his mother's last known location. Christmas 67, Margaret Woodard Crutchfield writes from Des Moines. Every known records check, zero. Backtrack to 66, a Christmas card from Dubuque. Every in-between town, full records checks, zero. Crutch got antsy. Buzz was who knows where, blitzed on who knows what. Buzz had this mean streak that he lacked. Buzz carried a fake cop's badge and coerced Head out of Booker's. Next that, holding it in was better. It was warm out. A summer storm brewed. Crutch took a drive. He circled up the Hollywood Boulevard and out to the strip. He looked at people. The long-haired girls jazzed him, and the long-haired guys rubbed him wrong. He trawled for that 62 bird and Scotty's blowjob bandits. He saw two fags in a 61 bird and no more. He drove east to Hancock Park. He cut his lights and perched at 2nd and Plymouth. That big Spanish house held him. Window glow flickered upstairs and down. He saw Chrissy in USC sweats, one glimpse and gone. He saw Dana tie her hair back in the kitchen. Buzz didn't get it. Nobody got it. That's why he never told anyone. It wasn't Chrissy Lund. It was always Dana Lund. And she was 53 years old.